I would hate to make you guys late for your class today on why you offended the terrorists. So I'm going to make this pretty quick. Not quick, but shorter than usual. We're just going to cut right to the chase here. And there are some big whys and hows that I want to address. My last episode this week was a very, as you know, cathartic, emotional reaction video to the war in Israel and the massacre at the hands of Hamas, that just is unlike anything that we've ever seen and is absolutely brutalizing. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the whys, not only the whys of how something like this could happen, but moreover, why we're seeing the responses that we are seeing, i.e., brushing it under the rug, the tribalism, and in some very unfortunate, sadly common and extreme cases, cheering this barbarianism on. And I get it. You know, everybody's very reactive right now. Everybody has their feelings. And funny enough, I had a former editor at a one of the big outlets I used to work for reach me about something that I had posted. And he said, you know, if I were your editor right now, like address like why the fuck, how the fuck. And so I'm going to do that here today and try. And again, I don't have all the answers, but I want to throw out some of the big questions and what I think are the culprits at you. So in sum, a little bit, you know, since we now that we're reconvening, I'll start all of this off by saying, and I'm going to get to this in the conclusion, everything we're seeing right now, sadly, we've seen before. We know how this story goes. And the question is this going to be how the story ends this time? Whether it be with the Holocaust, with slavery. I'm getting to that again in my outro here. So there are three kind of big things that I've been critical of and vocal of when it comes to all of the high profile entities, whether it be again celebrities, CEOs, corporations, universities, influential figures, what have you, speaking out to tragedy again, especially in a time when everybody is keyboard wielding and ready to go, and like in a culture that really prides itself every single injustice, even like why is your remote control battery missing today? This is an outrage, and yet here we are with this, like the atrocity, and yet again, where is the energy? In the face of tragedy, like I said, that we've never, like, unlike we've ever seen. So, number one is the relative silence, right? Again, the idea of people who are the first ones to come out about anything else, and like I said, put out statements and condemnations, or point you to charities you could go to, or resources or information, are hesitant about this, are quiet about this, and it feels a lot like teeth pulling. Like, where is everybody? Did you collectively lose your phones, or and they in the ocean? Do I need to page someone at Ocean Gate to retrieve them? Like, what is going on? With that being said, I will say there has been, what do you know, finally a week later, again, I think everyone forgot to hit their snooze button. You do have people like the boomerangs coming around, and there are people coming around finally. You just had a letter of 700 celebrities signed condemning Hamas and the terrorist acts, people like Chris Pine, Gal Gadot, Ryan Murphy, what have you. But again, it feels overall like there's just an obvious absence, and just generally and collectively, I know it, you know it. I don't have to point out people. It's just something that we can see because we have eyeballs, right? So this the relative silence there. Going off of that is the selective compassion, kind of like piggybacking off of that. But again, people who were so outraged about, you know, one tragedy, again, whether it be a George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, whether it be Trans Lives Matter, Asian violence, whatever it is, and yet about this, have nothing to say or condone actual terrorists. So to me, selective compassion is no compassion. Like, I don't know if you need a dictionary or how that works, but the hypocrisy there is astounding. And again, the people who literally have platforms dedicated to things like injustice, civil rights, mental health awareness, and they're refraining from talking about this, you're an embarrassment. A good example of this actually is LeBron James, who I don't, you know, align with politically a lot of the times. He's very outspoken, and he's somebody who was consistent. He spoke out about this and said, this is absolutely abhorrent and wrong. The annihilation and the acts of terror that Hamas has committed on the innocent people of Israel. And this is what I mean with selective compassion. Good for LeBron, but his fan base, again, who otherwise would be riled up behind him with any other cause, are literally giving him shit and flack for this. Like, do your research, take this down. So that's, you know, pretty sickening of itself. I guess they can see, you know, women being brutally raped, children being decapitated, elderly people being slaughtered, and excuse it, which we're going to get to. And then the worst case actually is cheering it on, as we've seen in universities like, you know, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where you see a pro-Palestine protest and them literally cheering things like glory to the murderers and whatever it takes by any means, i.e. to exterminate Jews in Israel. So that's kind of where we're at. And I have to say, even though people are starting to, you know, come around again with anything else, it would have happened in a millisecond. But you see, like, even the Secretary of State spoke out about how much of abomination this was and the horror and inhumanity. You have Mark Rowan, who is a billionaire Wall Street CEO, who spoke out about UPenn and urging donors to close their wallets because of the anti-Semitism that he'd witnessed there with events leading up to this on campus. Again, how it just goes unsaid and it's fine. So with all that being said, that's kind of where we're at. Those are the buckets. And where on earth are all of these things happening simultaneously? We're going to look at the epicenter today, folks. This is what I have on the brain. The cesspool of American society, but academia and the universities, where, like I said, all of these things are going on. So again, I addressed this a little bit in my last episode, but kind of an overarching summary for you here before we dive into, again, the whys and the hows. Can these students truly be so hateful and moronic? So first is the ideology. Again, the fact that these Ivy League schools have, you know, prided themselves on being politically correct and civil rights and justice and eradicating microaggressions. Now, let me show you how committed they have been to this. And shout out to Barry Weitz and the Free Press, where I've gotten a few of these examples. So you had a USC professor who was fired because he accidentally used like a filler word in Chinese that sounded like a derogatory US slang word. I don't even know. I don't know. It doesn't have to make sense. Okay. Fired a UMass faculty member who, in response to Black Lives Matter, wrote, "Yes, Black Lives Matter and everyone's life matters." This person either resigned or was fired. And perhaps my favorite example of all is the Yale professors who were fired because they had written out something to students about basically dealing with offensive Halloween costumes or something. So this is the type of crew we're dealing with, not to mention the Stanfords, who pose taking words like, you know, grandfather out of curriculum because it's so offensive and could cause harm. So this is the type we're dealing with here. So people, understandably, like you and I, can't wrap our heads around how these same people who are so offended and unsafe by a Halloween fucking costume are okay with beheadings of infants and toddlers and celebrating it in the streets. So that's interesting. Also, this is going on right now. Again, these you know, deans and these schools that are the first ones to condemn anything, clearly, like, they are going extra hard and really reaching. But I'll have you know that UCLA is offering currently an extra credit class in the crisis in Palestine, not Israel, Palestine. So I can only imagine the anti-Semitism riddled in that extra credit class. So really leaving them with the bait in that one. You have a Cornell dean who put out some lukewarm BS. Again, if you can't, plain and simple, condemn this is human beings. Again, if you can't see this and say how despicable it is outright immediately, what does that say about you? Okay. But this person put up some lukewarm bullshit, and I'm so sick of this. Like, oh yeah, violence all around is bad. Cut to the chase. Okay. About what we saw. Enough of this, you know, equalizing. There's no equalizing this, but they had to put out a new statement and basically say, you know, my last statement, I got, you know, responses. I didn't condemn Hamas enough, blah, blah, blah. How about this? Stanford, your favorite crew of social justice warriors, the aforementioned, put out a statement that they generally refrain from weighing in on matters like this. I see. So you want to take the word immigrant out of your curriculum, but you're refraining from talking about genocide and mass slaughter happening before our eyes. That's fine. Last but not least, which I'm going to get to in the end, are the protests that are really quite sickening. So first off is, look, we know that this is really political. And again, like, this generation is just like the hardest we've ever gone. When, again, these are the people arguing in the streets about a fucking pronoun. So with this, right, there's this really sort of righteousness about righting wrongs, liberation, and who's oppressing who. And they have it so much in their heads that Israel are the villains, the monsters, and the oppressors of Palestinians. Now, again, I'm not going to get into the history of this. Again, as I was transparent with you, I'm not an absolute expert. I mentioned it in my last episode that yes, while Israel has definitely blood on its hands and has not been completely just, I do defend Israel and defending itself with everyone around it trying to completely eviscerate them off the map. So with that being said, they have it in their heads that Palestinians are the oppressed. And I think number one of the why, right, is this deep, deep, as we know, divide. So before this, I shot a candid conversation that got really heated, and it was a back and forth with my friend who's a Black journalist in LA, Nick Hamilton. And me as a white Jew woman, him as a Black man, really sat down and kind of had this conversation. And again, it really like we went back and forth. You will see it. But, and I think I say this in it, but you know, it's so obvious. And even from speaking to him, it's like, people are just so, the feelings and the divide and the resentment and the hate run so deep that people can't see anything else. So in his case, right, it's as a young Black man in America and seeing everything through that lens. And, you know, and this is not somebody, by the way, he completely, not, this is not somebody with selective compassion. This is somebody who said what happened is absolutely abhorrent, right? But I'm saying you'll see how deep his feelings about the wrongs against Black people are, how deep that runs, right? And how that pertains to relationships with Jews. But there's also, you know, unfortunately, the political divide, because as we know, college campuses are very liberal. I was a liberal. I voted for Obama. Like, I was all stoked, and you know how it goes. Unfortunately, again, this is a lot of their messaging, their teachers, their faculty, and it just seeps through. So when you think about the, and it makes sense, right? Just as religious schools, you know, I don't want to say indoctrinate, but teach a very specific curriculum or set of teachings, right, to their students through a lens. And it's like that. And there's also, like I said in my last episode, you know, pro-Israel, it seems to be a very pro-right talking point. And college campuses and liberal progressive students and professors, they will make it their mission to go against anything conservatives say or do, as with the mainstream media, what have you. And so I think this comes with that. I think they have this sort of deep sense of morality, and like, this is right. Palestinians are the little guys and they need to be freed. And, you know, because Trump and whoever and this person, even though Joe Biden, Obama, the list goes on, have condemned this, they will see it clearly as, again, Palestinians are the oppressed here. And I'm not saying Palestinians aren't oppressed. They are. But these people have it in their heads that Jews have never and aren't oppressed, or they've never been oppressed, and that Jews are solely responsible and the reason for Palestinian oppression. And that's really sad. So going off of that, I think there's a complete and utter lack of critical thinking. When you think about it, right? Like, again, the fact that Jews have been persecuted, attacked. You know, again, even the Yom Kippur War 50 years ago, and when all of this happened, it was the anniversary. Egypt and Syria, surrounding countries trying to blow Israel off the map. And this goes way beyond before the Holocaust, a long-running history of Jewish hate and the world wanting to wipe out Jews. And so even in the horror of seeing it for yourself and it be being proudly documented on social media, and again, butchering innocent children, elderly and women, toddlers, in the most brutal, sadistic ways, can't get you past, like, it can't get them past their view that somehow they're still wrong. Or I've even gotten comments that, you know, Israel now, like, they're bullies, and when they're, you know, charged out against, they cry victim. It's like, how can you truly even say that? Like, critical thinking, or the fact, again, you can have complete compassion. And I do, for innocent Palestinians who aren't for Hamas and didn't ask for this, and have compassion and want both to live peacefully and civilly and freely, but to solely only see one, and not only that, see people victimized as oppressors and as victimizers, there's a serious critical thinking fucking problem. And it really makes me think, I mean, think, you know, where it's all they see. So between their professors, we already established, it's riddled in these whole institutions, right? Their friends, social media, the algorithms. This is why I said in my last episode, it's like the cool thing to be pro-Palestinian. And it's like hip activism. No, this is humanity. This is human lives. And the fact that, you know, all of this, they're just feeding, like, socials, like, they're fed these ideas and what's right and wrong over and over and over. They've literally lost the ability to think about any common sense, or common sense that the fact you're offended and find a word harmful, but you can find a beheaded child justifiable. No critical thinking to be had. Their brains are being rotted, whether it be the institutions or their friends or the algorithms. You know, and again, it's like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I follow a couple Gen Z activists. This is to show you how far deep it goes. I follow a couple Gen Z activists, and I was shocked to see that they posted, like, eventually, again today, you know, from the Holocaust Museum, Holocaust Memorial, like, things crying. Because I can only, like LeBron James, like, I can only imagine that they're going to get flack about this. And that tells you everything you need to know. It's just sick. Moreover, right? How desensitized that we have become. The fact that you can see these kids can see these images of utter unthinkable violence. Those images will haunt you. I have not been able to sleep at night trying to get those images out of my head. And the fact that they can see those images and, again, either say they're not real, deny it, which I've gotten comments, okay, on social media, say they're not real, sweep it under the rug, act like it didn't happen, again, insinuate that Israel had it coming, it's the price to pay to liberate the little guy, right? Or worse, cheer it on, which I'm getting to now, makes me really concerned about how desensitized these kids are. So my last sort of shebang here is, as you may have seen, some of the protests going on at these campuses. And this is, you know, worldwide. This is not like a thing of of, you know, five white supremacists who are about to get run over by a Dodge Caravan. Like, I'm talking, first of all, about like worldwide upheaval in New York City, in Sydney, in London. But let's take a good old here in the USA. We have, I don't know if you saw this, it was a big story about Harvard, in which students signed a letter thoroughly expressing that Israel and Israel alone was solely responsible for the violence, unprecedented violence, again, most Jews killed in a day since the Holocaust, the worst slaughter and mass murder of Israel's 75-year history, but solely blaming it on Israel. So you have that. I watched a really poignant, moving interview on CNN, funny enough, with a student there who was a Jewish academic, studied, you know, was in Jewish studies, and, you know, said, if you could look all of this barbarianism in the face, and you talk, these are the schools that talk about safe spaces and this and that, how do you think I feel? Like, do you think Jews feel safe on campus right now? So again, the hypocrisy is just deafening. You have students at University of Wisconsin-Madison literally cheering things like glory to the martyrs, glory to the murders about Hamas, and saying things like whatever it takes, anything needs to be done, i.e. dragging women's corpses, grandmothers, pregnant women, and toddlers out of their cribs to execute them, and in some cases rape them. That's what's going on these campuses. And again, and that's just one, by the way. I've seen more. I've seen many more. Where do we go from here? Between, again, the divide, how deep ideology and feelings run, the lack of critical thinking, the desensitization, the tribalism of it all. And again, the just complete decay of these institutions. I'm scared. I have one eye open to see what's even going on at my alma mater, PSU. I'm like absolutely horrified. Like, the Nittany Lion did not ask for this. I've been wanting to go back and do a lecture, and maybe I would, to talk some sense into these people. But let's just say, right, you know, in my last episode, I drew up the example of slavery, which is why Nick Hamilton reached me and prompted me to have a conversation because of that. Again, what I said in the beginning, we've seen this before, okay? Looking utter animalistic behavior and terror in the face and sleeping fine at night, okay? We saw it with slavery, you know, with white people humiliating slaves, beating them, whipping them, brutalizing them, torturing them, making them do things against their will, and then going fine to their homes at night, having dinner around the table and chatting about their good old day. Or, you know, again, a little something called the Holocaust, where Jews in mass were gassed, were burned alive, were tortured, and were killed and massacred. Same thing. The Nazi soldiers, what do they go home and just sleep fine in their little cozy having Hitler dreams that night? We've seen this before. And I hate to say this. I wanted to end on a hopeful note here. And I really thought about it. And I have to say, I am not satisfied. First of all, I'm not satisfied by the responses. I know people are coming around, but again, why for everything else? Is it a knee jerk? Yes, right away. And for this, it's pulling teeth. That's number one. Like, we shouldn't have to spell it out. And number two is seeing all of this and how deep it goes and how these kids see horror or look at it and celebrate it and relish in it. I have serious concerns. So I am here trying to, you know, have your back and speak the truth. But if you find me somewhere floating in the Bermuda Triangle teamed up with Ocean Gate, don't be surprised.